Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a five-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. If you want to advertise with us, email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook at LockedOnBulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, the Bulls are a quarter of the way through the season, and they have lost 3 of 4, and Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler both say they're fine.
11-9, Bulls record now, after an interesting Monday that began mid-morning, with the Bulls announcing starting point guard Rajon Rondo would be suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the team. What was that, you might ask? He yelled at an assistant coach, reported to be Jim Boylan, a whole lot in the loss to the Mavs on Saturday night, an embarrassing, 25-point loss, I think, for them, in which Rondo played very poorly. 2 points, I think, 4 or 5 turnovers.
He had as many turnovers as he had points, rebounds, and assists put together in that game. It wasn't his finest game. And, yeah, I haven't really been able to figure out exactly what happened. All the indications are just that he yelled at one of the assistants. I asked a couple of players before the game what had happened, and they all either wouldn't talk about it or said that they didn't see it. So it's kind of hard to find details about it. Obviously, Fred Hoiberg shut it all the way down at shoot-around. He basically said, we're not talking about this. But
when the Bulls announced that, I immediately thought, oh, I bet he started yelling at people, because Rondo has a track record. 7 times now, he has been disciplined via a suspension in his NBA career, which is in his 11th season. This is nothing new. It happened with the Celtics. It happened with the Mavs. At the end of that 2015 season with the Mavs, they made up an injury excuse to basically keep him away from the team at the end of the playoff run because they were so fed up with him. This is the first sign of, I guess, trouble in the locker room drama for the Bulls in what's been an otherwise terrific year for them, and they seem to be getting along well. But they could have used Rondo in this game. They lost in the evening 112-110 to the Blazers in a close game. Jimmy Butler made a 3 at the buzzer, so it didn't go down.
It was really a 5-point loss.
So it was a 5-point loss, but still a close loss. And the backcourt was awful. No Rondo out there at starting point guard. Jaren Grant started. He had 5 points on 1 of 7 shooting. Denzel Valentine got some more run. 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting. Isaiah Cannon, bigger role, 29 minutes, nearly 4 of 11 from the field. So missing Rondo hurt, practically speaking, which I think we'll get to. But I did want to round back to this, too. What did you just make of how the Bulls approached this suspension, Sean, and seemed to act pretty swiftly and quickly after this happened? It's not like it's something that got caught on cameras and was the buzz for 2 days in the NBA, you know?
Right. I mean, I was fine with the way they handled it. They decided that a one-game suspension. I have no idea what he said to Jim Boylan or whoever, whichever assistant. Woj reported that it was Jim Boylan, so let's just go with that. I don't have anything to the contrary in my own reporting. So I don't know what Rondo actually said, but it either must have been bad enough to warrant a suspension, what he said, or just maybe the tone of it they decided was...
I guess it was the attitude.
Right, I think they wanted to just send a message to the younger players on the team that, you know, they're going to not let that kind of stuff happen. And even, you know, Rondo is one of the veterans on the team. They're not going to let that kind of stuff slide for them as well as any of the young guys. I do wonder, though, and, you know, from all indications, we don't know for sure if he's going to play. Dwayne Wade seemed to indicate he's going to play tomorrow against Detroit. He's certainly going to travel with the team. Now, if Wade were there, I said this after the loss to Dallas, which Wade didn't even travel with the team for.
Correct.
He just kind of stayed back just to rest because he played 35 minutes in the win over the Cavs. But, and I felt like after that, the way they lost as badly as they did to the Mavericks, I felt like that's probably going to be the last time that Wade just sits out a road trip and doesn't even if he doesn't play in a game, he will at least be in the building with the team. If he's there, does the Rondo blow-up happen?
That's a really good question. I don't know. It depends on the circumstances of it. You know, if it was just Rondo privately with an assistant or something out of the way where the others weren't around, maybe it still happens. But if this was, and by indications, the players don't seem to have a ton of details on it. It doesn't feel like it was a huge blow-up in front of a lot of people. But again, we don't know all the details on that. So Dwayne Wade, I mean, this is the leader of the team, but they also brought in Rondo for his leadership. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there because he is a tough competitor, a guy who's going to go to battle for you. Jimmy Butler was so complimentary of him early in the year, I think, when Rondo got in somebody's face on the Celtics, I think, in an early season game. Might have even been the opener there. Rondo stood up for Jimmy Butler. But then comes the tougher side of him when he's stubborn and can be have a quick temper. And that sounds like what happened here. And you have to remember the Bulls, when they signed Rondo and Wade and kind of explain the plan, it was to foster a culture for the younger guys. This is what they touted and kept referencing. Foster a culture in which these guys can see winners and how they approach the job every day as a professional, playing the game on court, and also how they carry themselves off the court. So when you have kind of advertised that and then it goes awry like this did with Rondo, I think it makes sense to suspend him. You know what I mean?
Right, because, I mean, it's all about creating accountability, and it's also you don't want to send a message to the young guys that either that this kind of stuff is okay or that it's okay for the veterans but not for the young guys, because if they hadn't suspended him and then, you know, if there was a guy with less of a track record on the team that did something like this,
you can't suspend
him. You couldn't suspend them if you didn't do it with Rondo. You have to hold everybody to the same standard. So I have to say, I have no problem with the way that the front office or management handled any of this stuff. I think it was handled correctly. Everybody's saying that, I mean, this is sort of the kind of, it's the kind of thing where, you know, because it's Rondo and because he has a history of this kind of stuff.
A lot of questions.
It was always just like, okay, here we go again. You know, yeah, there were a lot of questions, but Jimmy seemed to think that, you know, he was talking this morning at Shoot Around about how much Rondo has meant as a teammate and how he's going to stand by him with all this stuff. And Fred said that he doesn't see this being an issue in the future. And Rondo, by all accounts, has accepted responsibility for his actions. I'm not going to be in Detroit tomorrow, but I would imagine he's going to talk about it in Detroit.
Yeah, and Jimmy called him, what, a phenomenal damn teammate to go to battle with, something along those lines. Dwayne Wade was asked about it a couple questions in the post-game scene in the locker room, and he pretty much said, you know, he's a professional, we'll get through this, my message is let's play basketball, let's move on. Wade supported the organization, said he supported Rondo too, wasn't anything earth-shattering or groundbreaking. Jimmy Butler echoed the same, we can get past this without a problem because it's the NBA, and you gotta realize this is the NBA, like a lot crazier things, a lot uglier things happen than just somebody yelling at a coach, you know what I mean? Like, there are tales all over the NBA of people getting pissed about
money
over card games and
stuff. A lot crazier and uglier things have happened involving Rajon Rondo yelling at people.
Exactly. So, this, again, seems like an isolated incident, according to the Bulls. We'll find out if that holds true. Only time will tell, but they are moving on there from the Rondo outburst. But you know, Sean, if you are as intense about betting on sports as Rondo is about the game of basketball himself, you should go to betdsi.com. If you want to get in on the action, it's a great site to use. It's one of the top rated businesses. I've played there. It's really safe. More than 20 years in the business, betdsi.com has been receiving high praise. It has a great basketball special too now. You can sign up today and get $10 to try their free service. BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. They have great customer service too. Fast and easy payment of winnings, which is what you want. It's a holiday season. You got to impress your family, your loved ones, your significant others with great gifts. Big money helps you buy great gifts. So go to BetDSI.com. Hundreds of football, basketball wagers to choose from. Anything else, you can get UFC odds on there when baseball gets fired back up in the spring. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and major sporting events. You can play virtually everything there at BetDSI. So here's what you need to do. Go to BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. And go there and use the promo code BULLS10, just how it sounds, BULLS10, and get your free wager and start winning today at betdsi.com. Sean, I want to talk about this basketball game.
Okay.
112 to 110. The Blazers won. Blazers hung 36 in the second quarter on the beleaguered second quarter Bulls defense. What do we trace this loss to? Lillard and McCollum combined for 54 points, but the Bulls did get 34 from Dwayne Wade, 26 from Jimmy Butler, so that backcourt scoring was offset. Little advantage for the Bulls, but what happened here?
Well, I mean, this is something, if you remember a few weeks ago when the Blazers lost to the Bulls in Portland, it was because they, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum didn't have great games. Yeah. You know, Jaren Grant kind of shut Dame down on the defensive end. He had five steals, also starting in place of Rondo there. But if those two guys are not having good games and are not hitting their shots, it's a lot easier to beat the Blazers. If they are hitting all their shots and, you know, they combine for 54 points tonight, it becomes a lot harder to beat them. And, I mean, this is the Blazers team that Al-Farouq Aminu played. He's missed a bunch of games with an injury. And, you know, he just came back, played 17 minutes tonight. This was his first game back in a few weeks. But, you know, this is a Blazers team that has been struggling lately. They have, you know, they've won, I think they won three of their last four. They've had a pretty good stretch lately. But, you know, this is the team, you know, the way to beat them is to shut down Dame and CJ. And the Bulls didn't do that tonight. And I will also, this is a point that I'm going to keep on hammering about the rotation. The Bulls were tied with the Blazers.
Yeah.
With about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter when Fred brought in the Portis Mirotic front court pairing. They played about 6 minutes together and were outscored by five. If you take out that three-pointer that Jimmy hits at the buzzer to make it a two-point game, the Bulls essentially lost this game by five.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying, I mean, this is all. I'm always saying that they lose the game in the Bobby Nico minutes, and I still have no idea why Cristiano Felicio isn't getting in at all. And the Bobby, Nico actually had one of his better games tonight.
He did. He had 18 points, 7 rebounds.
4 of 8 from the field, hit 3 of 4 3-pointers.
I thought he was just tougher. Didn't you just think he was doing more defensively, rebounding well, he was in the scrum in the mix. And we've said this 100 times, sometimes he lets shooting woes affect the rest of his game, but...
I feel like he could have done more tonight. Yeah, there was, you know, there were times, I mean, his stat line looks pretty good, but there were a couple of times I can remember where he gets the ball and he has an open shot and he will just either pump fake it and pass it or then dribble into a worse shot. I remember one time he did that in the fourth quarter, and it's like, this was better compared to his last few games where he's just been awful, but he still needs to get more confidence back to just take a shot when he's got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Felicio. He took his third, did not play coach's decision in the past four games. Bobby Portis in the rotation above Felicio, but the interesting note was he didn't play in the second half. So second half, Hoiberg went with a three big man rotation where he rode Lopez, I believe, for the entire third quarter, went directly back to the Taj-Nico pairing early in the fourth. Bobby never came in. So instead of a four-man rotation, they just went with three. That made good sense, I think, in a close game. But I don't think you can get away with doing three-man rotation first half, second half, every single game. You know what I mean? Like, that would probably wear the Bulls out too much. That's a lot to ask Nico to be that consistent, Taj and Robin Lopez to bang bodies every night. But did you like what Hoiberg kind of did with rotation in that regard?
I like that he saw that it wasn't working in the first half. What killed him though was he left the Bobby Nico thing out there too long in the first half. Let them out for 6 minutes.
Yeah, they did well. Like, they played good defense. I didn't quite tweet it, but I know this because I was about ready to tweet it, and then I thought better of it. And good thing I did. But I was like, Bobby Portis has made two or three good defensive plays here in the first couple minutes, and then it went downhill. So, like, there was something riding there a little bit that was going well. He was kind of helping from the weak side and cut another guy off, made a good play at the rim. But then, like you said, it went downhill. And I feel like we're kind of beating a dead horse there. But
gotta keep talking about it until it gets fixed.
It's still a horse that's in the race getting last.
This is a weird metaphor. I don't know what that means. I still believe that Cristiano Felicio could help them if he could get in.
Yeah. So I'm surprised. I'm still surprised he hasn't turned to him. So, like I said before, Hoiberg can have a stubborn streak sometimes and be slow to change. I think we saw that last year with Nico starting power forward before he went to Taj. and that kind of seems to be going that way this year as well. Did want to mention, too, Jimmy Butler took it upon himself at halftime. This is according to Jimmy Butler. Took it upon himself at halftime to decide that he was guarding Damian Lillard in the second half. Damian Lillard shot 7 of 12 in the first half. Damian Lillard shot 4 of 12 in the second half, so not nearly as efficient. Jimmy Butler kind of said, I'm not here to conserve energy, I'm here to win games, when asked about guarding Lillard for not the entire second half, but longer stretches, certainly, and helping slow him down. Did Jimmy try to do too much there, Sean, do you think? Because his scoring, he was 1 of 4 in the fourth quarter, had a good 26-point night, but didn't seem to have quite enough in the tank in the fourth quarter, maybe?
Well, these guys are tired. They're playing their third game in four nights. They, you know, and Jimmy is always, just on a night-to-night basis as it is, he's asked to do so much at both ends of the floor. You're still only three nights removed from doing this against LeBron James. He's still going to be pretty tired. He played a lot in that game against the Mavericks, even though they got blown out. They put the starter back in the fourth quarter when it kind of got down to 12 points. So, yeah, I mean, you have to guard a guy like Damian Lillard, who is a threat to as good of a threat to score as anybody in the league. Yeah, Jimmy's going to, you know, it's going to take a toll on the offense, and I'm a little bit worried that they're going to come out sluggish and just exhausted and have tired legs tomorrow, and it's going to be ugly.
Tuesday night against the Pistons there. I also have a modest proposal along those lines of not having anyone get worn down and the toll it takes. We've now seen Dwayne Wade be really, really good when he has 2 days rest. He went for 34 points in this game. He came into the night on exactly 2 days rest this year. He came into the night averaging 22 points, shooting nearly 50%,
mm-hmm.
and played better than even those numbers, nearly. I think the Bulls should not play him on both games of a back-to-back, as in they should sit him out one or the other for the entire rest of the year once Doug McDermott and Michael Carter-Williams get back, unless it's like a playoff, go to the playoff type game.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially because, you know, we've seen the two times that Wade has played on back-to-backs, he was awful in the
averaging like 7 points, poor shooting.
Right, he was terrible in that first back-to-back against Indiana that they got blown out, and then the second one was the game in Miami, which obviously he was not going to sit that game out because it was his first game in Miami, but Jimmy Butler was much more the reason that the Bulls won that game than Dwayne was.
Yeah, D-Wade was fine that night, he just wasn't efficient, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he just looks so spry, so sharp when he has 2 days rest. And I know a lot of the NBA cycle, it's play one game, one day off, you know what I mean? Maybe practice in between there, a lighter practice. But, like, he just looks so good when he has those 2 days off. And because on one side or the other, when you play a back-to-back, you're going to have an off day, no matter which one, and throw two off days together for some point for Dwayne Wade. So it just seems to make a lot of sense if you can get healthy. And again, that's dependent on McDermott and Michael Carter-Williams, who we'll give you updates on here. McDermott went through practice Monday with the Windy City Bulls, responded well to contact. Fred Hoiberg said he's planning on practicing with the D-League affiliate again Tuesday, probably hopefully getting back to the Bulls on Wednesday, and maybe playing Thursday against the Spurs. That's up in the air, but it is in the realm of possibility. Michael Carter-Williams is supposed to get his left wrist reevaluated either
tomorrow,
probably Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but probably Tuesday it sounded like, and he could practice with the Windy City Bulls late this week and maybe return next week. Something seemed like a fair bet for Michael Carter-Williams if all goes to plan, maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't want to say that just getting those two guys back is going to just completely solve all of the Bulls' problems, but both of them bring things that the Bulls bench is missing. They don't really have any shooting. Doug McDermott can bring shooting. They don't have great defense. Michael Carter-Williams can bring defense.
But they got everything else besides defense and shooting.
Right. Those aren't that important to winning basketball games. So like that's not those two guys getting them back is going to help.
It matters because again the starters. I mean, Jaren Grant didn't play well, but imagine if Rondo was in there. I mean, I thought the other four guys played well enough to win. Like the Bulls killed
14 rebounds for Robin Lopez.
They killed
the
Blazers on the glass again. They got to the free throw line 38 times, I believe. Totally outshot the Blazers at the free throw line. So those two tenets and principles and just certainties that they've counted on for most of the year were there again. And if you can just clean up that bench stretch that you referenced earlier, Sean, that played like a minus five or whatever when Bobby and Nico were together. Again, if the Bulls can just get back to like even or minus two when that bench is on the floor for longer stretches, and then maybe, you know, play a few minutes and conserve Jimmy and D-Wade a little bit more for the fourth quarter, so maybe they're a little more efficient. Like, right there, boom, is your few points the NBA games swing on. You know what I mean? Like, the margin of error is so little in the NBA. It's so little for the Bulls, too, when they're shorthanded like this, down three players in this one, that just another guy who can make a couple-point difference, a couple plays, would have made a difference in this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it once they get those two guys back, it's going to at least just give them more options, more pieces to use, so they don't have to rely quite as much on their starters. And, you know, in the long run, that's going to help.
Certainly.
Does that cover everything? Do we have everything?
I think so. The Bulls fell to 11-9, tied with the New York Knicks at 11-9 in the East. A lot of bunched up teams in the East. Five teams.
There's really
nine losses.
Yeah, because it's like, It's basically, you got, you know, you Cleveland is at the top, and then
Cavs,
Toronto,
Raptors,
and then there's like, isn't
Celtics, Hornets, Knicks, Bulls, and Bucks all have nine losses. Celtics and Hornets half game up on the Bucks or Bulls and Knicks, but the Bulls are, I think it's like they are where we kind of thought they might be, just right in the thick of it with a lot of teams that have a lot to prove and have a lot of question marks, some talent too, but it's just, again, not a big margin for error. We're seeing that. They get the Pistons, who are 11-11, currently hold the 8th seed in the East. If you're counting at home, you know, 60 games to play or whatever for the Pistons. I guess there's 62 for the Bulls. Race for the 8th seed might be beginning here in that regard. But Dwayne Wade just said Bulls, what, they're fine? They just need to start playing
basketball. Jimmy said they're fine. Wade said basically they're going to have stretches like this, and you know, you're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad as you think you are.
Certainly. So I think we're always as good as we think we are in this podcast, or we try to be.
And you should leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because of it.
You can follow Sean on Twitter, @Hyken. Follow myself, @CodyWesterland. Check Locked On Bulls out on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls. And we've got a Facebook page. Keep you updated there with the latest podcasts. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. With all your basketball questions, we'll definitely take some more basketball questions later in this week. A little bit of a weird schedule, so many games, but we always appreciate those questions. Send us advertising inquiry as well to LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And most of all, as always, please subscribe and tell your friends and your friends' friends.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us 5-star reviews, like I said. You can also get us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom, Google Play, basically anywhere you can find podcasts. And make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. There's Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, there's some fantasy shows, there's all 32 NFL teams, all 30 NBA teams have their own show, which I recommend checking all of them out and subscribing to all of them and leaving a lot of 5-star reviews. We'll be back. We'll have an episode tomorrow evening after the Bulls-Pistons game, and then I think we're going to take Wednesday off and have one after the Spurs game on Thursday.
Sure thing. Thanks for listening, as always.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.